97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome into another podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with our producer Chad Ellis. My partner Bo Matthews is connected at home as we continue to practice proper social distancing. And our friend Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors, who joined us on the radio show this week, is sticking around for the podcast exclusive discussion as well. Want to get into some stories of the week, as we have had a lot of news to cover here in the St. Louis area with the protests and civil unrest that we have seen around us. But first, let's keep it light for another couple minutes here and finish our discussion. We were talking to Tim on the show this week, and if you missed it, of course, you're already listening to this podcast. You can just download the show's podcast. We release two podcasts of Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors every week. The show podcast goes out on Friday, and then this podcast exclusive gets released every Monday. Talking to Tim on the show this week about bow fishing. You have a love for everything bow hunting, deer, turkey, and fishing. And you mentioned in the show about the silver carp. You said those are the ones that jump out of the water. Is silver carp and Asian carp, are they the same thing?
Yeah, Asian carp is kind of a collective term for all the invasive species that have recently been introduced to our waters. So that's an umbrella term for grass carp, silver carp, and big head carp.
Gotcha. But do all Asian carp jump out of the water, or is it only one?
It's primarily the silvers.
Okay,
the jumpers.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And when you're talking about bow fishing, I mean, there's one thing about either being on a boat or being on the bank and looking down at a slow-moving bottom feeder carp near the bank and shooting it. But it's a whole nother world to try to shoot a jumping fish out of the air with a bow and arrow.
Yeah. Yeah, which is why you miss a lot.
you
just do. And it's hard because you never know where they're going to come from. They usually come from behind the boat, in the wake of the boat, and they're jumping off to the side. Sometimes we've been hit before. My buddy's been hit in the jaw. He was driving the boat one time, sitting down, and one jumped up into his lap and then just started flapping its tail on his groin. And he almost has PTSD now because of how many times he has been impacted by these things. They've knocked the electricity off on our generator that powers the lights for the front of the boat so you can see. You'd be driving along at nighttime, and then all of a sudden, poof, it's just dark. And it's because a silver carp has jumped up into the boat and taken out our generator.
I've only experienced it once, and I've talked about it on the show, but it's unbelievable how big and dense these fish are, and the fact that they're able to get all of that weight and power up into the air as much as they do. I mean, this one, that the one time that I experienced it, this thing jumped over our boat, and me and my buddy Perry Woods, who I fish with all the time, we just looked at each other with blank stares, like,
yeah,
did that just happen? Yeah. Like, we couldn't even believe it. And if one of those, if that thing would have hit one of us, it would have been like taking a punch to the face.
But if you catch them, they grant you three wishes.
Oh, okay.
and don't some people wear helmets when they're doing this fishing? Certainly out of a boat.
Some of the guys on YouTube that are kind of, it's the shock and awe value. They're getting pulled behind a boat on a little like raft or something, and they're hitting them with baseball bats. Yeah, they'll wear helmets, but guys that are bow fishing, it's usually too hot, and most guys bow fishing will not wear a helmet.
Is it good eating?
It depends on the water it comes out of. So so if guys are bow fishing Table Rock, or there's a pond out in Eureka that's super clean water that I've bow fished before. The fish tastes great out of there. The lower Merrimack is where we spend most of our time bow fishing, and I don't know, like if you see an old refrigerator floating down the river after a flood, that makes me not want to eat something out of there. As safe as it may be, it just doesn't seem appetizing.
So does fishing with the bow and arrow have the same effect on going back to regular fishing as bow hunting deer and turkey have for you? Like, I know that you will still hunt deer with a gun, but you prefer bow hunting. Is it more boring? Is it harder for you to go back to just standard fishing after experiencing bow hunting?
It's a weird thing, because it's like when you're bow fishing, you are actively seeking out fish, and you do the same thing when you're angling, but with bow fishing, you're sight fishing for them. So you're finding them and you're seeking them out, and you're not coaxing them to bite. It's all your skill as to whether or not you can hit them. And so sometimes it feels like, oh my gosh, fishing seems like such an antiquated thing that you fish one little section of water and you wait till something comes along and bites it. Whereas in this, you know, you're covering a lot of water and you're shooting at a lot of things. So you almost have to think of them as two completely different sports. But I have to say, I grew up fishing. I did a lot of fishing for walleye and sauger back home in North Central Illinois. I love fishing. It's my first love. But since I started bow fishing seriously, probably 4 or 5 years ago, I have had very little time to do any regular fishing.
Hmm. Last question about bow fishing. I would imagine that, I mean, you obviously have to visually see the fish that you are shooting at, because unlike, you know, regular fishing where you're putting something down deep in the water and you're not necessarily seeing what's happening. So I guess all of it essentially happens right along the bank. All bow fishing happens right along the bank. And in that case, do you do more bow fishing in a boat, or is it better to do it standing on the bank?
You can do it from both, and I've done both, and I do both. Having a boat is better. You can cover more water, because a lot of times those schools of silvers are out in the main channel filter feeding. Or there may be kind of a flooded island where grass carp have come through and they're nipping off the new growth on the willow trees. And it's almost like cattle feeding on grass. You actually see them poke their heads out of the water and grab these leaves and twist them and yank them back down underwater. They're not always relating to the bank. They can oftentimes be out in the middle. Just depends on where they're finding the most food and what they're comfortable with, because sunlight, you know, they don't have eyelids like game fish, and so they'll try to avoid direct sun if they can. But if it, you know, late at night, you can catch them out in the middle, no problem. Or if you're fishing a big impoundment, sometimes you'll have big gar just out in the middle of nothing, out on Table Rock or Bull Shoals, and so they can kind of be anywhere. But the more you do it, the more you establish a kind of a sixth sense on where these fish like to relate. Because even within the different species, grass carp like to be up in the current. They like to be in new vegetation. Silvers can be pretty much anywhere. Commons like to be where there's a muddy bottom where they can root around. Gar typically like to cruise where they can find fish, small fish for prey. So there's a lot of nuance. It's kind of fun to learn and be challenged chasing these fish. It's not like they're all just in one spot and it's all a homogenous experience.
All right, Chad, I'm going to leave it up to you as the producer of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. What is going to be our first trip out as a show to film us out somewhere, you know, doing one of these activities? Do you want to go hunt a feral hog from a helicopter, which we've talked about a lot, or do you want to get in a boat and go driving through the Asian carp and try to bow and arrow fish jumping carp out of the air? What are we going to do first?
I think feral hog hunting.
Feral hog, yeah, baby, yeah,
would be what I would pick. Being on a boat.
What about bow fishing from a helicopter?
Oh, now you're talking.
Now, that would be fun.
All right, there it is. We got it's still the feral hog hunt that we've talked about many times is still what we're going to go for. So before we wrap up the podcast exclusive, I feel a little bit of a responsibility to address some of the things. And we talked about this on the show a little bit this week with our friend Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory and with Jesse from Razorback Armory, some of the civil unrest, the protests. It's obviously had a big impact on the Second Amendment community and the firearms business. We saw a tragedy happen here in the St. Louis area. We saw multiple tragedies happen, but none bigger than what happened to the retired police captain, David Doran, 77-year-old man, retired, was at home in the middle of the night and got a call or an alert that the burglar alarms were going off at his friend's pawn shop in the city. And as he's done many, many times, he went out to check on the store to make sure everything was okay, and he lost his life. And this is a 77-year-old retired police officer who's got nothing left to prove or any other reason to serve the community that he has already served so greatly for a lifetime, to be going out and to lose his life this week in a situation like that is just absolutely tragic. And we pray that this violence is hopefully behind us. Hopefully it's slowing down. We record this show, obviously, a couple of days before it hits the air. So we don't know what's happened, you know, and when you're hearing this, it's we recorded a few days earlier. So hopefully we've experienced a few days of peace when everyone is hearing this.
And hopefully they found the killers.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. I wanted to just interject in there that there were some actual fake GoFundMe pages in the name of David Dorn. The only three places that Ann Dorn, his wife, is asking people to donate to is the Backstoppers organization, mm-hmm. the Crime Stoppers, and then there's a Fundly page that was put up, and even President Trump had shared that. Those are the three places, if you want to make a donation to support this family or the police officers, those are where you want to go to. Yeah, but it's a horrible story.
Absolutely. And as much as I believe in everyone's Second Amendment rights, and I strongly fight for everyone's Second Amendment rights, I have the same feeling about the right to protest. I think that it is an important right that we have, and I think that it is something that we should preserve and fight for. But when you're seeing these buildings and communities being burned down and looted, and you know, businesses destroyed, that's not protesting. That is a different activity altogether, and that is not something that I can fight for or support. I've covered a lot of these situations, whether it be Ferguson or it be Jason Stockley or it be this one in particular. There is a big difference. I've experienced, unfortunately, both things personally. The peaceful protests that I think are very necessary and very productive, and then the terrible violence that sometimes breaks out in the evening, and it is not the same people participating in those two activities. Bo, did you have anything that you wanted to say about what we've seen in the community here this past week?
You know, again, I'm with you. I think our First Amendment to be able to protest and to try and get some answers about what people want to change is important. But when you're obstructing even traffic, that to me doesn't make any sense, but that you do you. But on the case of David Dorn, there was a video of him dying. Okay. And there was a snap of a brief picture of the person video recording his death, and that post is on my page. You can go to Bo Matthews on Facebook. The picture of David Dorn is there, and the picture to the right is of the person who filmed this or recorded this. So if that person has answers, there's a reward for answers. I think it's at least $40,000. And again, Crime Stoppers, Backstoppers, and the Fundly account are the three legit places you can donate. But No, it's just, it's so sad. And it's, it, the rioting and the looting has nothing to do
right.
with what has happened. That's the saddest part of it all. And the fact that Black Lives Matters doesn't shine any light on David Dorn because he was a black man, he was a black police officer. That to me just tells me that Black Lives Matters is a political movement. It's not about black lives.
Well, it just
that's just my opinion.
Again, I think it also depends on what, you know, it's individuals that make those decisions, you know, on what they want to represent in these different groups. And, you know, the terrible outcry for justice for George Floyd is correct. He was murdered. And justice for George Floyd should be something that we are all fighting for. However, we don't see the same outcry for people like Captain David Dorn, whose life is just as important. The loss of his life is just as tragic. And I wish that there was just as much focus and outcry and a call for justice, you know, for a death like Captain Dorn as there is for George Floyd. But, you know, that's about all I can hope for and say on that. The one thing, you know, it looks like, and I truly believe that at least George Floyd's killers are going to be brought to justice.
Yeah.
I think that the moving the charge up to second degree murder and charging the other officers involved was the right thing to do. And hopefully, you know, they are all held accountable for their actions. And I hope that the people that killed David Dorn and shot other police officers and citizens and committed other crimes in this time are also brought to justice or at least.
Well, and we have seen, Tony, wouldn't you agree that we have seen justice being served? I mean, it's going to take time for these officers to be put on trial and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But that just said, okay, so justice is being served in that case in Minnesota. And here we have all this other stuff going on that has nothing to do
right.
with his case.
Right. Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. It's Tim, do you have anything?
It's an unfortunate thing that we see that goes around with this. Yeah, I want to get Tim and Chad's thoughts on this. Go ahead, Tim, if you have any comments on this situation.
Just a couple thoughts, and they're a little nuanced, and so forgive me if they don't come out quite as I intend. But one, I just think we have to be careful that we don't infringe upon other people's liberties, whether that be your life. Yeah, because obviously your life is important, and we saw what I believe was the unethical taking of the man's life in Minnesota. So but also like yesterday, I had to reroute myself around highways that were shut down, trying to get home to my family to be with them, and so I don't think you should infringe upon other people's liberties when you're fighting for someone's liberty
justice.
That was
yeah.
taken away from them.
Yeah.
So that's point one. The other point, I've heard a lot of people say, I don't understand the looting. I don't understand the rioting. Why is that having to happen? And I think there's a radical segment of individuals who feel like because of historical injustices that equality is no longer the goal, but I'm owed something from historical injustice, and so I'm going to zero out the balance sheet and get mine by taking from someone else.
You know what I think? I think that is a excuse. I think that some the small percentage of people that say that because I agree with you, Tim, that is a mindset that exists.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
I think it more than anything, that's just an excuse. I think that the people that do this that are guilty of these violent acts of looting and burning buildings and shooting at police officers and shooting at citizens, you know, that are inside these businesses or whatever. I think that these are just people. I think they're opportunists, and I think that they look to take advantage of the situation whatever it may be, and they may say in, on a camera or something that they're doing this because of that they are looking for justice or they're looking for equality or they're looking. But I think the truth is that these are just bad people that will take advantage of a situation to do something, you know, do something that they want to do or just feel like they have an opportunity to steal or loot or whatever, you know. And I think it's more, I think it's more that. I think it's more just cover for a very small percentage of bad, violent people that that take advantage of the peaceful protesters and the legitimate message and the legitimate cause that the peaceful protesters are out marching for, and you know, they just take advantage of that situation, and that's it. I don't think it's any deeper than that. I don't think there's any there's any decent or message in that. And yeah, and Chad lives.
Chad's got to have a perspective.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and Chad, you live, you know, you live downtown.
Yeah, I live in the downtown area, and it kind of sound like Iraq the other night. When they kind of, I don't know. The looting seems kind of pointless, especially the places that they're choosing to loot. It's definitely seeming like a lot of opportunists. Just taking the opportunity that they have.
Do you think it's the same people? Do you think it's the? Do you think the people that are peacefully protesting?
Quite honestly, no.
Yeah, I don't.
Quite honestly, no. You know, seeing seeing protests with thousands of people in O'Fallon and different other places, and then just seeing, like, soon as night breaks, riots start and trash cans are lit on fire and windows are broken out, and like it literally looks like a scene out of The Walking Dead if you look, if you go around town in certain areas, and then certain areas just like nothing even happened.
So obviously the curfews have really helped in the last couple of nights as of the recording of this program. But I grew up with a curfew. I know what a curfew is. I'm thinking a lot of these people didn't have a curfew, and it was no. Seriously, do they even know the term curfew? But if you put a curfew out and the peaceful protesters go home at the curfew or before the curfew starts, well, then whoever's out on the street is probably not a good person.
Yeah,
they're probably up to no good. Exactly. That's what a curfew was.
I think Bo is referring to the great curfew during the Great Depression, right?
I'm not that old, buddy.
And the thought behind, you know, we're protesting for someone that lost their life from police brutality to someone losing another person losing their life. And if it's about black lives, then what's going on? Like, what's the
why aren't they up in arms about David Dorn?
How do you explain it? Like, what is the okay? Because clearly a lot of black police officers join the police force because there's a lack of representation in the community.
Yeah.
So if they're trying to be a representation and trying to alleviate some of the issues that we have, like, okay, this person never traveled to this part of the city, never experienced what it is to live in this part of the city, but we have this person policing and protecting this part of the city, and you can't protect something that you don't know and you don't appreciate. So therefore,
that's a good point.
It's like, okay, we're protesting, but there's something that we could do as well. So it's like, what are we doing to actually solve the issue at hand? Because quite honestly, looting and tearing up a building that the senior citizens use because they can't travel to a grocery store that's 20 miles away.
Right.
Like,
The city already doesn't have a lot of resources when it comes to groceries and shopping.
And it's like, quite honestly, besides doing the destruction because, oh, we owed something or what, however you feel, where are you going to go after? Mm-hmm. Where is your family member going to work after you loot and you destroy their place of work? Like, I'm just thinking about it. Like, I know the people that work in that 7-Eleven.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's maddening.
I see them like 4 times a week because it's that close to my house.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm thinking about that. And I'm thinking about like when the protests went went near my house and didn't touch anything. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what was the point? What right. was the purpose? Like,
so let me ask you this. When I covered Ferguson, so, I mean, I was there night after night after night, and through the peaceful protests and through some of the very not peaceful protests, and what we, and you know, that's 2 miles from my house in Florissant. So it's not my neighborhood, but it's certainly my community. And like you said, you would watch those pictures on the news and you would think that it's this huge area that is under siege. And really, it's like a block.
Yeah, I mean,
you
one
could
street.
Go. Yeah, you could go 2 blocks away from everything you were watching in Ferguson. And it's just a quiet neighborhood with people sleeping in their homes. I mean, like, literally, it's that drastic of a change in you know, just a few streets. But in Ferguson and other protests that I've covered, a lot of the looters, a lot of the people that are burning buildings and stealing don't live in that community.
Absolutely
not.
And
the people that live in that community were angry and outspoken against their community being destroyed. Like, why are you coming here and trying to take advantage of our message of protest and you're piggybacking on that and destroying our community? Would you say it's kind of the same thing here in the city, that it's not, I mean, the people that live in the community, but it's
absolutely. I mean, if you were like to witness, you know, that many people don't even live downtown,
right?
And the people that do live downtown, they weren't protesting. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like, those are the people that weren't. They're not destroying
homes.
Exactly. Right. Like, it's like a few convenience shops that you know, like, okay, there were literally people outside protecting those establishments.
Yeah.
Like, no, you guys are not gonna destroy this establishment just mm-hmm. because.
And then that's exactly what David Dorn was trying to do.
Yeah, and it's like, for what? You guys are gonna take some TVs, mm-hmm. some jewelry that right. depreciates in value that has no real value.
And it hurts the message.
Yeah.
It hurts the
It definitely dampens them. It dampens the message entirely, because no longer are we talking about police brutality. We're talking about looting and rioting and fires and like, come on, we talk about things like, we got people talking about these are the last days, and like, we're talking about somebody that died from police brutality from the beginning.
Right, right.
Like, when are we going to get back
to that? Yeah, let's
like,
stick
we,
to
we
that.
We forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. No, well said.
Chad Ellis for president.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bo, you got any final thoughts? Or,
no, I just, you know what? I'm just praying every day for the peaceful protesters and for the law enforcement and, you know, and the medical teams that are out there still fighting COVID. And I'd like to apologize to all of the Lake of the Ozarks Party Cove people that I was giving crap to. Look at all the protests going on with no social distancing, hardly any masks.
Actually, the protests that I've covered, there's a lot of people wearing masks.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. For what reason?
Almost. Like, I almost feel weird if I don't have a mask on at this point.
Yeah.
Because I see so many, and they're so creative now, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
when I was following that protest around the city earlier this week, I mean, I was marching with that protest, covering it for 3 hours, and hundreds of people. And, like, seriously, like, 75% of the people had masks on. But it's also a great time to wear a mask, because you know some people are trying to hide their identity in that
it's so,
type of situation.
It's so crazy that you see the diversity in these protests now.
Oh yeah.
And because you like, in reality, you see police brutality throughout. So it's just like, to me, it's a big mental health thing to me, that like, I feel like the world is missing, and I feel like that's what a lot of this, like,
yeah.
Because I remember seeing an officer and just spoke to him, and it kind of lightened up his day.
No doubt.
It was like, I'm not here to attack you, man. Like,
well, and,
I get it.
And just like the bad protesters, the people that are creating this violence is a very small percentage of the protesters that are out there for peaceful, real reasons. But it's the looters that make the message look bad, that make the overall protest look bad. It's the same thing with police officers. It's a very small, every group of human beings has a small group of bad people in them. And police right. and military are not excused from that. But it's the small minority of bad police officers that give the police a bad name. And I think that's why you see so many police officers reaching out to these protesters, like you said, and just talking to them and supporting
walking
these charges.
With them too.
Yeah, and supporting these charges against these police officers in Minnesota, because they know that those are bad cops and they don't want that reputation rubbing off on them. Is there a problem? Yes, there's a problem. I don't think it's as bad as the media would have you say, but that doesn't mean it doesn't need to be fixed, because it does need to be fixed. But it is, in my very strong opinion, a small percentage of bad cops, just like there's a small percentage of bad people in every walk of life.
I remember
I spoke to cops during the city police officers during the protest this week, and asked them, like, what do you know, these people are marching in the streets, they're blocking traffic, what are your guys' plan here? And they said, we're just here to make sure everybody's safe. We're not, they had no desire to get into some kind of altercation with these protesters. In fact, they were paving the roads for them. They were making sure that the roads were closed and that the protesters could march down the streets safely. The police were doing everything that they could to facilitate the protests, not get in the way. So that doesn't excuse. I'm not saying that every police officer is great, but I think that the majority of them
has to be the majority. They take an oath, man.
Yeah,
I know it kind of sucks to be a police officer right now, because they kind of came back to work.
Police officers, they get it in Ferguson and during Jason Stockley. Yeah. There is nobody got treated worse.
Yeah.
And that I witnessed,
because they're
than the
getting,
black
they're,
police
they're
officers.
Being judged by,
and that is
by,
sick. That is
they're
sick.
Being judged by their own community, as well as they're being misunderstood.
Right. Yeah. Totally.
So it's kind of wild.
Yeah. Good discussion, guys. I'm glad we had it, and I'm glad that everybody that downloads the podcast got a chance to hear it. And we absolutely appreciate everyone who listens to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors and the support that you give us. We talk about a lot of fun stuff like fishing and hunting and camping. And we also have to talk about the serious stuff sometimes. So we appreciate you being here for all of it. That is going to wrap up this edition of the podcast exclusive. Don't forget, two podcasts every week and a radio show every week. You can hear all of it on the radio.com app. Just favorite 97.1 FM Talk or KMOX Radio. Should probably favorite both of them. And you can get our podcast there. And of course, you can hear us every weekend on those two radio stations as well. For producer Chad Ellis and my partner Bo Matthews, and a big thank you from Tim Shelsvik to Tim Shelsvik from Duray Outdoors for sticking around for this discussion as well. I'm Tony Colombo. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.